Michigan's built environment has been heavily influenced by Asia. As early as the 1920s, Chinese students were coming here to study architecture at the University of Michigan and the Cranbrook Academy of Art. In the late 1940s, we saw an influx of Japanese-American students. Minoru Yamasaki famously put his stamp on Rule's Bakery in Detroit and later the world with projects like the World Trade Center Towers, Oberlin's Conservatory of Music, the Pacific Science Center, and so many other memorable places. The name Hua Yi may be less well known to you, but you've almost certainly experienced the designs he made famous in shopping centers across Michigan and the U.S. As we've been driving past malls empty of cars and people, this seems like a moment to consider their design, their function, and their makers. Mark Harvey is a state archivist with the Michigan History Center, and he joins us now with more on Hua Yi. Mark, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you.
How did you become aware of Hua Yi's work?
We have a large collection from the Michigan chapter of the AIA, the American Institute of Architects. And in those research files, we were looking for some more information on Minoru Yamasaki, and alphabetically, Hua Yi is right there next to him. And one of our staff pulled the file out and went down that rabbit hole.
How did Hua Yi come to Detroit?
He has an interesting trip to Detroit. He grew up in California, then served in World War II as a gunner and navigator in the Army Air Corps, actually flying missions against Chinese positions. And then after the war, he did like many people did and went to college, and he happened to land at the University of Detroit and became an architectural engineer after getting a degree at University of Detroit.
I was interested to read that one of Hua Yi's earliest projects revolved around the redevelopment of Detroit's Skid Row, raising the city's first Chinatown to make room for the Lodge Freeway and Cobo Hall Arena. How did he get involved in that? Do you know?
Early on in his career, he set up his own shop and was contracted by Charles Blessing, the city planner, to help create an international village project at that Cobo Arena site. And so he worked with the Chinese Merchants Association, who really didn't want to be a part of that international village. They wanted to maintain their own identity. But he did work on that project through his contact with Charles Blessing, and it didn't work out. The plans eventually got scrapped, and then the Chinese Merchant Association actually came back and hired him to develop their commercial area north of there.
Why was Hua Yi so interested in shopping malls as a point of interaction?
I think it stems from that modernist perspective that was prevalent and really seems to be a continuation of other architects' visions, notably a gentleman named Victor Groen, who built the Northland Mall complex, which was one of the country's first malls. I mean, there's always problems with saying something's the first, but it was the first cluster mall that was centered around a flagship store and had air conditioning, and that was in the 90s. And Groen he believed that malls were a community asset, that they were more than just retail centers. They were all encompassing and were an asset to the community, and that you would have medical offices, parks, you know, everything that you would have in a functioning town in this one development. And Yi really continued that vision. He was very interested in the idea of relational building, so that, you know, a building couldn't stand on its own. You wouldn't build a certain style of building next to a completely different style. There needed to be continuity, and that was easily achievable in shopping malls, not the least of which was because they usually were built in former agricultural fields, so you didn't really have a lot of competing buildings.
Right. You know, we've become so hyper aware of some of the consequences of shopping malls as a thing in American life, the devastation that they wreaked on main streets in small town America, and, you know, the consumer culture that was part and parcel of them. But it kind of sounds like what Hua Yi and Victor Groen and some of these earlier architects were driving at was what we would now call mixed-use, densely packed urban development.
It's exactly what it is. And what's interesting is it's come around full circle, because those early malls were a reaction to, I mean, all the way back to the 1920s, they were a reaction to the increased use of automobiles that were clogging downtown commercial centers. Then you start seeing the sprawl happen as a reaction to that densely packed commercial area. And then from that, you see people like Rune saying, hey, you know what? We can just create a whole new community and integrate these retail centers as part of the communities. And you see that with, you know, things like Levittown in Southdale and in California. They were really centered around a holistic community, just not a commercial center.
After Levittown and some of the other developments around the country, people started to see more of the benefits of this.
So the developers that worked with the architects, they saw the initial retail success and abandoned the community aspect of it pretty quickly. And you'll see architects like Grun basically turn on their own vision because it wasn't being fulfilled by the builders and they would abandon it. But Yi continued that vision. And I think partly because he was as interested in the architectural form as he was the community aspect. I think it's why you see these interesting components of malls like fountains and common areas and food courts. They're sort of an homage to that community aspect, although they weren't really pulled off that great.
Do you know how he felt about seeing some of his malls age out or just see the form overall, you know, grow somewhat stagnant?
We don't have any direct quotes from him, but just seeing how he progressed in his career, he became a little disillusioned with the fact that the malls that he would create would sometimes be added onto, which wasn't part of his vision. Again, he was very holistic in his vision of building these structures as, you know, a continuous architectural structure. And so a lot of times with malls, you'll see, especially here in Lansing, he built the Lansing Mall, and you'll see lots of tack-ons on the end of those malls. Interestingly, though, after he retired and sold to a new management company, Yi & Associates, which is still in business, continued that concept. They built the Novi Town Center, which, if you've ever been there, sort of has a lot of those elements that we've talked about. Although it seems no matter how hard we try to do that mixed use, that intentional community sort of bleeds through.
Tell us more about some of his designs that are still with us.
Yes, he did Lansing Mall. He did Fair Lane. He has a mall in Georgetown in D.C., among others.
Mark, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we're in this period now where the COVID-19 pandemic has left the malls that are still out there just completely standing all by themselves and devoid of people. And there have been some serious questions raised about whether America still wants malls. Do you think there'll be anything lost if these structures that Wai Yi and Victor Gruen and others spent so much time on just fade into history?
Yeah, I think it's when I looked back at some of the statistics of malls and their use. I mean, obviously the 80s were the heydays of malls. And at one point in the late 80s, there's a statistic that said an American family averaged 4 visits per month to a mall. I grew up in the 80s. I can't imagine. I don't think I went there that much, but maybe.
Oh, man. I grew up in the 80s and I can almost guarantee that was the case in our family.
Maybe I did because we hung out at the mall and my kids look at me like I'm crazy. Like, why would you hang out at the mall? And I guess maybe there was some of that community aspect. I'm not sure. But it's interesting because we went from, if we look in Michigan, in our urban areas, sort of that urban decay of the 70s and the shift to the malls. And now that's really reversed, right? We've shifted back to the urban areas and away from these malls. And now they are the relics standing there on the fringe of the urban areas. It's sort of like the urban areas are returning the favor.
Yeah. Mark, do your kids know about Cinnabon?
They know about Auntie Anne's pretzels.
They might change their tune if they were aware of the deep and rich culinary history of 80s malls.
They know about Orange Julius because of me, unfortunately.
That's important. Mark, thank you so much for telling us more about Wai Yi. And who knows, maybe we can meet up over a froyo and talk some more about this in the future.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be plenty of room.
Mark Harvey is a state archivist with the Michigan History Center.